always live on the Odyssey app. Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil on the ones and twos. We're hanging out with you till noon. Then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC. And they will take you up to 4 o'clock into the weekend right here on ESPN 1320. That is Sacramento Sports Leader. I want to remind you this weekend we have game three of Timberwolves Warriors right here at 5 p.m. Coverage begins on Saturday and then Sunday. Well, Sunday night baseball. Phillies at Guardians, 3 p.m. is when coverage begins. That is right here on ESPN 1320. Johnny G asked a question in the chatty house.
Uh-oh.
And both is the answer, Johnny G. If you want to participate in the chatty house, youtube.com/ESPN1320. Twitch.tv/ESPN1320. Excuse me. Working through a hiccup. Here we go. All right. So the Ringer put together a pyramid of the most trustworthy players left in the NBA playoffs. And we talked about this a little bit with guys like Tyrese Halliburton and Anthony Edwards, and where do they kind of land in their superstar ascension. And we've talked a lot about that because it feels like last postseason and this postseason are really about kind of the passing of the torch, right? This playoffs now has no Kevin Durant. It has no LeBron James. Steph Curry is in the playoffs, but he's currently hurt and his team is tied 1-1. There's just a really, really good chance that we get a finals that has none of the old guard in it.
Mm-hmm.
So the last two playoffs have felt like that kind of in real time passing of the torch. So I think the individual player discussion is interesting. The most trustworthy player in the playoffs, according to the Ringer, is Nikola Jokic. The second level of the pyramid is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Jalen Brunson. The third level is where things get interesting. This is the trustworthy level. And there are three players in the trustworthy level. The first one is Tyrese Halliburton. I'm going to stop there. I have a really difficult time arguing against Tyrese Halliburton at this point. If this was this time last year where you and I both watched him avoid the basketball against the Knicks in the playoffs, I think I would have been hesitant to call him a trustworthy player. And his stat line may vary on a night-to-night basis, but when there's a player who I know is capable of going for 20 and 10 anytime he steps on the floor, 20 or 10 plus,
mm-hmm.
and he's going to take and make a game-winning shot, a crunch-time shot, that's a player that to me is the definition of trustworthy, and I have a really hard time not putting Tyrese Halliburton in there based on what we've seen this postseason.
Okay, I'm going to take the counterpoint on this.
Okay, great.
Look, I think certainly he has had the flair for the dramatic. He's been able to hit the big shot, mm-hmm. right? But we're also looking at a player who went 3 of 13 in the first game of the playoffs this year and scored 10 points,
mm-hmm.
who scored 14 points in Game 3 and 17 in Game 4. Like, sure, is he averaging, 18 points a game for the playoffs? You know, something like that, maybe? 18.4, that's what he's averaging. But right now, he's shooting 47% from the field. He's shooting 30.6 from 3 in this year's playoffs.
Right.
I don't think he's trustworthy. I think he's a big, big shot maker.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also played a Milwaukee Bucks team that, you know, just folded up
mm-hmm.
and had Damian Lillard miss a bunch of time. He's now playing a Cleveland Cavaliers team that has three starters that have missed games, or at least three mm-hmm. rotational players, two starters, including the best defensive player in the league. So I'm not there yet. I would have put him in a different bucket. I do trust Donovan Mitchell. Now, it doesn't mean anything because Donovan Mitchell hasn't actually won the games in the second round here.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the stats and what he means to his team, I see it. I think he is a big time, he has got so much playoff experience. It's crazy. He does have one bad game in the playoffs, but it came in a win. But we're looking at 30, 30, 13, 22, 33, and 48. He's been incredible.
He should be higher than this.
He might be in the tier above this.
I don't, the fact that Cleveland was, should have won that game the other night with no Darius Garland, no Evan Mobley, and no DeAndre Hunter.
Yeah.
That's their, just so people know, Darius Garland is a major, major factor for them offensively.
Yes.
As a shot creator, as a shot maker, he's outstanding. Evan Mobley is the defensive player of the year and a good offensive player in his own right. Mm-hmm. And DeAndre Hunter is their sixth man.
Yeah, and
or
he's
I
been
guess probably seven, but he's
really, really good since coming over.
Yes, he's been a key player for them off the bench.
Yeah. In Donovan Mitchell's last 12 playoff games, he's averaging 32.3 points per game.
Come on, man.
Yeah, he's a tier above, like, for me.
They should have won the other night. The fact that they didn't was not a Donovan Mitchell problem. It was an execution problem. It was a boxing out problem.
Yeah.
Donovan Mitchell, to me, belongs a tier higher.
Yeah.
Because I don't, there's not, if you're a Pacers fan, you're terrified of the Cavs still because of Donovan Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Darius Garland's supposed to play tonight, and Hunter and Mobley are supposed to be back tonight, and but you're terrified of number 45.
Yeah. Anthony Edwards is a great player.
Anthony Edwards is the third player in this three-person level.
Yeah, I can't put him in the same level as Halliburton, but no with Mitchell. I just think Mitchell's in a different category.
This is why tiers are better than pyramids.
Yeah.
Yeah, with Ant, it's just such a... Because he's... The ceiling is just so unbelievably high.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels like he's still either figuring out when, or maybe it's the way he's defended and he's still trying to... He still needs to see more playoff defenses and have more playoff experience.
Maybe. With Ant?
Maybe. He's played a ton of playoff games, though, I guess.
He's played 34 games, and he's averaged 27.3 points per game in the playoffs. So, and not only that, but he's had some of the biggest high-end games.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in his the first playoff series he ever played, he had a 36 and a 30, a 41, a 36, a 34.
Here's the thing that... This is my only hesitation with Anthony Edwards. In the closeout game against the Lakers, they won 103-96. He scored 15 points. He had 11 boards, 8 assists. He did have 3 steals, but he went 0 for 11 from 3 and 5 of 19 from the field.
Mm.
And maybe he's getting better at finding ways to impact games when he's not scoring.
Yep.
But that's the one thing that's kind of... I don't want to put him below that, though. I don't want to put him a tier below trustworthy.
No, I'm fine with him there.
Okay.
I'm just not fine with Donovan Mitchell there. I think Mitchell needs to be up higher.
Mitchell's above Ant and Halliburton for me.
Sure. And we're going to get to the next tier, but there's a player in that tier that I'm like, I guess you can question whether he's reliable at this point, but I don't know how you can.
So that's the next one. It's and again, we're doing a pyramid levels, not tiers. Very different thing. This is the sometimes trustworthy tier. And again, this is via the Ringer. In this tier, I'm going to name the names. Steph Curry, Jason Tatum, Aaron Gordon, and Julius Randle? Okay, so there's a process thing here where they decided they were doing the pyramid and needed 4 players to go here.
Mm-hmm.
So Steph, they note that it's the hamstring. Is the reason he's sometimes trustworthy. But I think if we're removing that, to me, he goes in the tier with Donovan Mitchell, wherever you're going to put Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah. This probably needed to be a 5-tier pyramid, not a 4-tier pyramid.
Pyramid?
There it is.
Yeah. Nice.
Now, you did just invent something.
I did just. That's a me thing.
A pyramid.
Yeah, hell yeah.
That's right.
Trademark the insiders, ESPN 1320. No, but I get it. If right now, if you're going, hey, I'm today, right now on May 9th, 2025, if I'm betting on one of these guys, it's like, man, okay, let's say Steph comes back for game 5. Are you certain you're getting 38 minutes out of him? And are you getting a good 38 minutes? Now, if Steph's healthy, like I said, of course. He came out and he was cooking against Minnesota before he got hurt. Honestly, the fact that he made that little leaner that he made with the bum hamstring is pretty impressive. But if you have no idea what his injury status is, I get why he would be in the sometimes trustworthy category. I guess,
but I mean, they're also, they somehow, I mean, people have brought it up. Like, Russ Dog brings it. Aaron Gordon over Jaylen Brown. Where's Jaylen Brown in this? We're talking about the guy who literally won the finals MVP last year.
It says right now.
Okay.
And like so, I said, there was a whole podcast that went with this that I didn't listen to. I'm just going off of what they posted on the internet.
Yeah. Okay.
I would put Jaylen Brown in the sometimes category.
Yeah,
sure.
Jaylen Brown is averaging 22.6 points per game in the 2024-25 NBA playoffs. I mean, he's been really good. I'm also, where is Jamal Murray in this? What is happening? This pyramid is crazy,
wild,
Kyle.
Ass pyramid. Jason Tatum belongs in the sometimes pyramid, or sometimes level right now.
Yeah, he does.
And I think that Jaylen Brown belongs there for the same reason. Because if they had a quote-unquote trustworthy star on their team, they're up 2-0 in this series.
Oh, yeah.
But the fact that Jason Tatum didn't even get a shot off at the end of the game. Come on, dude. And we can parse and pick apart why Jason Tatum's not effective, or hasn't, I'm sorry, let me back that up. Why Jason Tatum has not been effective in these two games.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just the fact that I walked out of the 2022 NBA Finals and went, man, is Jason Tatum really their best guy? Because Jaylen Brown was the more impressive player in that series. I'm not totally sure Jason Tatum's their best player. And then they lost in the first round the next year, right? They lost to Miami,
mm-hmm.
the first round where they were down 3-0. And then tied the series and then lost game 7. That's the thing that happened, right? I have that order correct. And then they win the title last year. But Jaylen Brown was the finals MVP and the conference finals MVP. So I don't, Tatum's obviously awesome. And you look at all the regular season stuff and he's incredible. And last year during their playoff run, he was incredible. Probably should have been the finals MVP. But then he comes into this year and just does, he just no shows. I can't trust him.
I guess, but. Man, you go back to the Philly series in 2023.
Yeah, 51 in a game 7.
Drop 51 in a game 7, I don't know. But then the Miami series, he put up 14 in a game 7.
Right.
So, yeah, I guess you're probably right, but I just can't imagine. I mean, this is the best player. We can argue about whether he's the best player on the best team.
We're talking about right now, though. On May 9th, 2025, with everything we know based on right now.
I guess. I mean, if you're going to take the 0-2 start in the series, then you've got to put him in that category.
Okay,
but that seems pretty tough.
Okay. If we know how loaded the Celtics are. If Jason Tatum is that dude, then there's no worries, right?
Yeah, that's true.
If he's that dude, they are that much better than the Knicks, or they should be, in theory. If Jason Tatum is playing at that level, and frankly, we want to bring Jaylen Brown into the discussion, if he's playing at the level we all know he can play at,
mm-hmm.
then they should win the next four. The problem is when it's come down to crunch time in these games, they've twice blown 20-point leads at home.
Yeah.
Ah.
They're down 0-2 in a series, and both are home games. That's
and they
tough.
Were up 20 in both. Yeah, you don't get to hang out in a tier above sometimes trustworthy.
No, that's true. Yeah, I mean, in those games where you know how much is on the line, I expect more than a 23-pointer in a 13-point game.
I need to remove Aaron Gordon from the conversation right now because he belongs in a higher tier of a different pyramid. Does
yes.
that make sense?
Yes, yes, yes.
Aaron Gordon, to me, is one of the most trustworthy role players in the playoffs.
See, we should have done this. We talked about the other day.
We can do it. We have another 45 minutes of program left.
No, that's true. But we talked about this idea of who has the best star in the draft. I mean, in the playoffs, right?
Right.
We should have said who had the second best player. You know, who has the third best player? Because then we probably could have come up with who might actually be the team, right?
Sure.
So I think by avoiding, I mean, because it doesn't matter how good Jason Tatum is if the guys around him just completely fall apart
in
the playoffs.
That's a great point. Jason Tatum could average 50 for the next two nights, but if the rest of the team is going to shoot 16% from three, it's not going to matter.
Yeah, I mean, look at what Donovan Mitchell's done. Sure. Donovan Mitchell's great been point. Absolutely off the charts great.
Yeah.
But they're 0-2, and they're 0-2 because they're missing three players.
Yeah.
Stuff.
I think there are better role players than Aaron Gordon in the playoffs, especially if you're going to put, if Star is by themselves and then we're doing everything after that.
Yeah.
Jaylen Brown obviously belongs up there.
Pascal Siakam.
Pascal Siakam's up there.
I mean, that's where and Evan Mobley. Kind
of the Cavs in general, the Pacers in general, the Celtics in general just are super deep like that. Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
Is there. But Aaron Gordon in the sometimes, Aaron Gordon's trustworthy all of the time. I know exactly what I'm going to get.
Yeah.
But if you're expecting him to be a superstar and go get you 40, yeah, probably not. But if you need him to knock down a game-winning three or be in the exact right spot to throw down a game-winning dunk, he's going to be there.
Yep.
He's going to do the stuff role players are supposed to do.
Well, even, you know, for that matter, Mikal Bridges. Mikal Bridges is a guy who locked up Jason Tatum on the final play.
Yeah.
Like, that's why he's there.
Yep.
It's to be an elite role player in a moment like that against a specific player that they went out and traded for you to stop.
After the conversation after the postseason was, man, they gave up too much for Mikal Bridges. Mm-hmm. He's just not that guy anymore on either end of the floor. And then he's like, nope, playoff time, I am that dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Impressive.
Maybe we can do that. We can start working through that. I don't want to try and do that on air because it's going to be a lot of us going,
Yeah.
And that's not compelling.
Nope.
But we'll put that together. We'll put together the trustworthy role player tier.
Okay.
Joe Brazil's a trustworthy role player. The trustworthiest.
We have to call
blue guy.
The trustworthy, what do we call it? The
pyramid?
Pyramid.
All right.
I was going to say that earlier, but I didn't want to get dragged for that. And
if you have a dumb joke, always make it.
Pyramid.
The ethos of this show. Nice one, Joe.
Thank you. I thought of it first.
What?
Makes you want a tiramisu. Makes you want a tiramisu real bad. All right, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil's here. We're the Insiders. Sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We haven't talked about George Pickens and the Steelers yet. I'm going to relate the George Pickens trade to the Cowboys to the Sacramento Kings.
Oh, I'm here for it.
And I need to get to this now.
After the break?
Well, after, yeah, we got to step aside on the radio side to do some commercials. But after that, we'll talk about the George Pickens trade to the Cowboys, how it relates to the Kings. We're the Insiders. Joe, hit the break.
You're listening to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento sports leader. Back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Not a lot of things get me more fired up to do radio
than a good pyramid.
Than a little Andre Nicotina. Well, 4 a.m. Baybridge music.
Shout out Andre Nicotina. Absolutely.
Legend. I don't have a good segue. I'm going to talk about Underdog. I have lost. Hang on. I'm going to count here. My Underdog losing streak is epic here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 consecutive lineups.
Oh, no.
And 6, 7, 8. And 8 of my last 9. Yikes. Last night. I was like, man, Kevon Looney, higher than 4.5 points. Didn't play.
Oh, no.
Played no minutes, which is kind of nuts to me, but that's a whole separate thing. Jonathan Kuminga, higher than 7.5 points. Nailed it. That was easy work. Rudy Gobert, higher than 9.5 points. Thought for sure. Oh, Minnesota's going to take advantage with Rudy Gobert and his size. Nope. Didn't do that at all. 5 points. Dante DiVincenzo, higher than 10.5 points. I need Dante DiVincenzo to make 3 threes and a 2. Yeah, that's easy work, right? Wrong. He made 3 threes and that's it. He finished with 9. Brandon Podziemski, higher than 13.5 points. Hey, no Steph Curry. Brandon Podziemski's going to run the point a lot. I foolishly thought that Brandon Podziemski, the swaggering guy with a lot of hair, was going to not be terrified to shoot the basketball in the playoffs. Alas, here we are, 11 points. And then Anthony Edwards, higher than 27.5. He only needed 20. and he got hurt. He busted up his ankle, left in the first half, came back for the second half. But like I said, at that point, they didn't really need him to take over that game.
Did you do a six play?
Yeah, I did. I'm on tilt, bro.
Bold.
I'm fully on tilt.
Bold.
I usually do three players at the flex play. It's you just pick higher or lower on at least two player stat projections, and you can turn $1 into $1,000. I'm turning $1 into $0 right now.
Mm.
But alas, that's why Underdog is the best, because they've got NBA playoffs, they've got NHL, they've got Major League Baseball, of course, in full swing, WNBA. They've got all your favorite teams, all your favorite sports, all your favorite players, and I would love for you to play along with me. Maybe next time I give a lineup, you just fade it. Just go against everything I'm saying, and you can win some money, because apparently doing the opposite of what I'm doing right now is the way to win. Download the Underdog app and sign up with promo code KYLEM. That's KYLEM to unlock a special offer of up to $1,000 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit. That's promo code KYLEM, KYLEM. Must be 18 plus and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncbgambling.org. In Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342. In New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY.
There we go.
I hate when I've lost a bunch because I like get the yips.
Oh.
But you know when you're winning with daily fantasy, you just kind of jump in and you're just like, all right, that one, let's go, we're rolling. Right now, I'm looking at I'm scrolling through everything. I'm like, which one of these is like in Severance? If you're not familiar, the micro data refinement team, that's the main job of the main characters. They basically just scroll through numbers, and then certain numbers will pop out to them, and they grab them and they put these in certain buckets. Show explains the whole thing. That's how it feels when you're rolling on daily fantasy and Underdog.
Mm-hmm.
The number will just jump out like, oh, Jimmy Butler, higher than 4.5 rebounds? Yeah, give me that, like for sure. And then right now, none of the numbers jumping out. They all look the same to me.
I feel for you, Kyle.
I'll win a lineup eventually.
Okay.
I hope.
Anyways. I'm not convinced.
Thanks, Jim. Your support means the world. So... that's James. I'm Kyle. Joe Brazil on the ones and twos. Is he in there? Oh, yeah. Joe's in there. What's up, Joe? We're sponsored by Jiffy.
I'm on the ones and twos.
You are onesing and twosing right now.
There's ones here. I was on the twos.
Oh, on the twos over there doing some editing.
I was on the twos.
Nice.
Yeah,
Shout out to Joe. Doing a ton of work behind the scenes. We appreciate all of it. So this happened a while ago, and I meant to get to it, and we just really haven't. But the Steelers traded wide receiver George Pickens to the Dallas Cowboys. I'm going to relate this to the Sacramento Kings. Because the overarching takeaway from Steelers fans, mm-hmm. as I was reading various blogs and posts and all that, was that the Steelers are stuck in the middle. And they've kind of when you look at their history over the last kind of 15 years or so, they've kind of been here where they're stuck in this middle ground. Of, are they trying to win now? Are they committing to winning now, like winning a Super Bowl? Not just treading water, having a winning season and making the playoffs. It's like committed to trying to win a Super Bowl now. Or is this about you take some lumps this year to give yourself a better opportunity to build for the future?
Yep.
Those are kind of the two paths you can take. And right now, the Steelers are treading water between the two of them, is the general complaint I've seen from Steelers fans. So, couldn't care less about the Steelers. It feels a little bit to me, as I was reading this, I was like, it kind of feels like where the Kings have landed. And not that this is on Scott Perry or Doug Christie or Domantas Sabonis or DeMar DeRozan or whomever. It's not necessarily on them. This is just where they've landed. They have intentionally or not landed in this space between, well, not really, and maybe Scott Perry changes this offseason, and that's what this offseason is going to be all about, and we'll talk about that. We'll follow it every step of the way here on ESPN 1320, but they're currently, as of May 9th, to me, stuck in that exact same space where, okay, they might win some games this year. Again, with the current roster, we don't know what the roster is going to look like, but right mm-hmm. now, they're not really going to win a title. And there's not a ton of resources on this roster to believe they're going to do that with this group. But also, this group isn't so bad that it's like, all right, well, this is a 20-win team. Let's talk lottery. If the Kings, without a major move this offseason, which is a key element of this, without a major move this offseason, we're going to go in to the year going, all right, well, we kind of know what the team is. 42 to 46 wins, depending on health and how the ball bounces. Like, they're just kind of in that spot. And maybe 46 wins is the four seed. Who knows? Like, the West is weird. But I don't think we'd go into the year going title contender, but we also wouldn't go into the year going, well, they've blown it up. This team is going to stink.
Yeah, the tough thing that, like, if you go back through the history of the Kings, mm-hmm. they've been in a similar situation to this, except for maybe the step below this, so many times. Like,
sure.
Right? Yeah. So you're not just the worst team in the league. They've had that for a couple of years, mm-hmm. right? They, you know, during the late 2000s, they were right in that range where, you know, again, they finished with, what was it, 17, 25, 24, 22 wins.
Mm-hmm.
Boom, 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 right? But then you got just a little bit better than that because, you know, the Tyreek Evans draft pick kind of panned out. The DeMarcus Cousins draft pick kind of panned out. So you jumped up into this next tier.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that the tier that they're in, they're right above that right now, but the tier where you're drafting between like 7 and 12 every year is the worst, most gross tier ever.
Just awful.
Because what you do is not only do you have mediocre draft picks that maybe hit, maybe don't, like the chance of them hitting is way lower, but on top of that, you're always in this almost to the salary cap, and so you do death by mid-level.
Mm.
Right, and that's kind of where you're really concerned that they're heading right now.
Yeah,
because, like, I can tell you, like, the Kings, like, they don't have a ton of, like, tradable assets. They do have some tradable assets. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can trade Keegan Murray, you can trade Malik Monk, you might be able to trade DeMar DeRozan. Like, if you wanted to go all in and, like, blow this thing up, you can trade Domas, right? Mm-hmm. But the real trade assets that you would hope to have are either young players that don't fit your system or whatever, and you're going to be able to move them.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a ton of that stuff, but they do have a bunch of trade exceptions. They've got a mid-level exception. They can go out and find like $16 million player, $14 million player, $7 million player. Mm-hmm. They can go up to the luxury tax or go over the luxury tax. They could piece this together in a really interesting way.
Yeah,
but that would require like really, really savvy moves.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't miss, right?
That's it.
And if you're going to trade, like, let's just say you find a $16 million player that you love, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, this is a guy that would fit perfectly. Let's say a Bobby Portis or a Naz Reid or whatever. In order to get those players, no one is just going to give you that player for free. So now it's draft capital. So now mm-hmm. you are hurting, like, what you might have, your war chest of stuff. And it's going to be very difficult, but there are pathways through this.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they can figure those pathways out or not, I don't know. But for right now, this is where you had come to a point with a group of people that could not get you past this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, you know, it's just like if you get to the second round of the playoffs multiple times mm-hmm. and you keep bombing out in the first or second round, well, it's probably time for you to fire your coach and start over. Mm-hmm. Or bring in somebody who has got you over.
Has to make a significant change at that point.
Yeah, that's taken a team that's gone past mm-hmm. that and gone and won. So I think that's kind of where the Kings got to. Like you got a group of guys that could build a team, but then they stopped their build way too early.
Yeah.
And they just kind of got stagnant. And then their, oh no, we're going to get fired move.
They stuck themselves in that middle ground.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Their, oh no, we're going to get fired move was to go out and to sign DeMar DeRozan. Like, oh, we've got to do something or we're going to get roasted again. And that's where you start to make mistakes. You have to be proactive in the league. You cannot be reactive.
Oh, yeah.
On occasion, you can be reactive. Like, for example, the Mikal Bridges, like, acquisition by the New York Knicks was reactive. That's, we cannot stop the combination of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum.
Yeah.
We have got to be reactive. Good. Yeah.
That's that jump from, okay, we're a team that's going to be out in the first couple of rounds every year unless we do this. And that's what's going to be really interesting with Scott Perry and the Kings. And this is, again, what their biggest task is this offseason, is you talk about trying to save that war chest of picks.
Mm-hmm.
And ideally, in an ideal world, if you're not going to use those picks, you're trading them for a star.
Yeah.
What I worry about, and I think what they're going to have to gauge is, all right, if it's going to take a couple of firsts to get, I don't know, Naz Reid. Let's I don't know exactly the mechanics of it, but that level of player, the risk, the assessment has to be, okay, is it worth kind of squandering a couple of picks here and there on this guy and another couple of picks here and there on this guy? And then we got rid of a pick to get rid of this salary. And now all of a sudden you're down a bunch of picks and you've gotten like a little better. You've gotten, oh, okay, that's a playoff team, but they're not doing anything in the playoffs. Better.
Yeah, it's tough. We're talking about, I mean, this isn't to like throw shade. We're talking about like the Kevin Huerter level of trade acquisition. Mm-hmm. Because that's what you did. You traded, you know, expiring contracts for Kevin Huerter, but you gave up a protected pick in that
right,
trade.
Right. Like a capable player, but not one that's going to elevate and your trajectory.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, the time for that trade when you could have
ceiling
made...
Ceiling is the word I was looking
yeah,
for.
Yeah, the Go ceiling, ahead. Right?
Yeah.
The problem that you have now is that you've reduced your ceiling by trading De'Aaron Fox, who had a much higher ceiling than any player that the Kings currently have.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not to be, again, disrespectful to Zach LaVine. It's just, for me, it's a fact. Like, he's a... Like,
I think I agree.
Right at all-star, star-level point guard that still had room to grow, right? Whether he could have got you there or not, I don't know. But the point is that if you would have made the move to add a Pascal Siakam, an all-star level player, or a Zach LaVine when you still had De'Aaron Fox, or a, I don't even want to say Cam Johnson, like a better player than Cam Johnson at the small forward spot, like to an OG Anunoby or a Mikal Bridges, if you would have been the team that went and done that then, you could have put this team easily could have jumped into a conversation of, can you contend?
Right.
Like, and people can look at me and say, you're crazy. If you think that adding Mikal Bridges to the Kings team instead of Harrison Barnes would have jumped you into competitive, like, I don't know.
I don't think it would have.
It very well could have. You miss the opportunity to take your team from good to great.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're stuck at good, and you're not even on the high side of good. You're on the kind of good side.
Yeah.
And that's a tough spot to be.
You're right on that edge of a bad good team or a good bad team.
Yep.
Like you're right on. And that's where this is so tough. And this is not, and again, this is not blaming anybody for anything. It's just the reality of kind of where they are is the risk they run this offseason is not doing anything that takes them out of that middle. And in 5 years, okay, Domantas Sabonis is past his prime and Zach LaVine's past his prime. And you're sitting here without a war chest of picks. You've made a couple of small moves and you never got past the first round.
Yeah.
And now you're sitting here and you've wasted 5 years of existence for nothing.
And the prime of a bunch of your players. And that's why, you know, again,
just pick a freaking road. I don't care which one it is.
No, I totally agree.
Commit
but
one way or the other.
I'll tell you this, man. When they missed on OG Anunoby, and very specifically, one of the reasons why they did not make the OG Anunoby trade was they were concerned about the money they were going to have to pay OG when they did trade for him.
Mm-hmm.
The Knicks just paid it.
Yep.
You know, that's the difference. That's the Knicks that's just it. Go, you know what, we'll give you the assets, and you know what, we're going to pay you.
Yep.
And you can look at the trade and say, hey, the Kings couldn't have competed with the trade that you made, that the Knicks, what they gave up, the
Emmanuel Quickly
and RJ Barrett.
Yeah.
Like, no, the Kings could not have competed with the players that they got. The Kings could have competed with draft picks.
Yeah.
Right? Sure. But the point is that if you're not willing to make that financial commitment and another team is now, you know, vying for the Eastern Conference, like they're one step away. They're up 2-0 on the Celtics away from going to the Eastern Conference Finals and potentially, the NBA Finals, that's a big deal.
Going to the Eastern Conference Finals where they may face Pascal Siakam, who's now been to the Eastern Conference Finals twice.
Yeah.
In that scenario.
Yeah.
They may not get Pascal.
It's the two players that you passed on, and not specifically because you wouldn't give up the assets, mm-hmm. because you wouldn't pay them.
Right.
That was the discussion, and it was like, hey, no, we're not going to pay $220 million, I think is what OG Anunoby got. I get it. You know, and you can say, I'll be honest with you, OG Anunoby is not a Hall of Famer. DeMar DeRozan is. I don't care.
OG Anunoby is a way better fit.
One of them fit better and would have meant taking another logical step, and the other one did not.
Can you imagine? Man, they would have been so much better out of the gate if they had OG instead of DeRozan.
Well, it brings us back to that line that I told you, the Ken Rosenthal line today, that I saw that just like stood out so heavily to me.
Yeah.
And it was something about like when you fire a manager, that's a failure of a franchise, of an organization. This last year, just straight up, the firing of Mike Brown was not a failure of Mike Brown. It was a failure of the franchise.
That's it. When you start stacking up all the reasons he got let go, it all starts at the top.
Yep.
And trickles down. Everybody played a role in it, for sure. All right. We got the handoff coming up next. Maybe we'll run this by D'Lo or Casey, whoever's in there. And we got a couple of playoff games to talk about tonight. Mark Jones on the call for Thunder and Nuggets. Game 3 of that series tonight in Denver. That's television voice of the Kings, Mark Jones. And Cavs are at the Pacers. Really interesting things with the betting lines in these series. I want to talk about that during the handoff as well. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil on the ones and twos, just on the ones right now. This is the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader. Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
That shirt is unbelievable.
Thanks, man.
Damian Barling's here. Oh, hang on. I have a thing for this. As soon as Future turns down, hang on.
Percocet? Molly Percocet?
Molly Percocet. Yeah. It's my third grade teacher, Molly Percocet.
Oh, very good. Percocet. Yeah, well, yeah. She was the hot one. She was the one, yeah.
It's time now for the handoff. Taking the handoff from James and Kyle today, here's D'Lo, Damian Barling.
Yeah, it's him, Damian Barling, D'Lo and Casey. Coming up next.
Wait, was that a question?
Coming up next?
No, it is.
It is?
Yeah.
We're sticking with
5 years, yeah. We're staying with 12 o'clock.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Hey, whatever you want to do.
I know.
Your show.
I know.
Your show.
Very digging my own grave.
Hey, have we... let's see. Do we want to do the trustworthy pyramid with Damian, or talk about the playoff games tonight?
I like the trustworthy.
Okay.
Is there a reason it's so humid in here? Did you guys just say we're listening to my mixtape? Siri set the temperature to Florida?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I did spray Lysol just in case.
Yeah, you sound like crap. Why are you here?
Oh, I'm feeling way better. Oh. It's just a residual.
Sounds terrible.
It's just a residual, like, voice.
Oh, man.
That's
okay,
all.
Okay, I got you. Yeah, that's fine. That's
I don't know why it's humid. I didn't think about it until just now.
But now you're noticing something. It's very humid in here.
I did. Why is it? Oh, God.
It's not me.
James, you are hot. Come on, man.
Our friends at The Ringer.
Yeah, well.
The people at The Ringer.
Thank you.
put together a pyramid of the most trustworthy playoff stars right now. Getting away from tiers to go to pyramid, not a move I love.
Okay.
But we can save that for another day.
Okay.
This is a whole podcast discussion. They posted a graphic, so I grabbed the graphic. I haven't listened to the podcast yet.
Mm-hmm.
So it starts with one player at the top, then two in the next level, three in the next level, four in the next level. And it starts with the most trustworthy player in the NBA playoffs right now. It's Nikola Jokic.
Okay.
And I think that's fair.
Fine. Sure.
I think it's fair.
Yeah.
Tier two is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Jalen Brunson.
I'm good with that. I I'm good.
I was
that.
Out on Shea there, but then James talked me into it. He's
could on. Could I talk anyone into Jalen being in tier one?
Oh.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean,
go ahead.
I just feel like Jalen's been one of the best, maybe the best player in the entire playoffs. I know they went to a 7-game series to start, but
And if he has the ball, didn't it 6 games? 6 games.
What?
To start.
Oh, was it 6? Yeah, that's right. It didn't go 7. I wanted it to go to 7. It didn't. Same. Yeah.
But I'm with you because I think when you talk trustworthy, you know what you're going to get from Jalen Brunson. Now, it might be more or less efficient depending on the night.
Mm-hmm.
But when Jason Tatum got down the lane for the dunk the other night to go up 90-89, it was like, all right, well, Brunson's going to score. It's just with how much time. Sure. I was so certain he was going to put the ball in the hoop that I wouldn't, if somebody wanted to, and again, this is a pyramid, so there has to be one at the top and then two. But if we're doing tiers, to me, he goes in tier one.
Yeah. I mean, Jalen's been...
He's unbelievable.
Extraordinary. Like, I get the idea of the bit, mm-hmm. one, two, three. Yeah. But, man, Jalen has been... He... You know, this might be a discussion later today. Like, I feel like he's been the definitive star of the playoffs.
Ooh.
And Tyrese, to me, is really, really close. I think Jokic is tough because...
We just
maybe
know.
We expect it, yeah. And it's not. It's like Jalen with the ball in his hands late. Like I'm kind of expecting him to make it. I didn't, you know, part of you know putting Tyrese up there is I didn't expect Tyrese to do what he did against Milwaukee.
Yep.
In those closing moments, he was like, "Nah, it's me."
Mm-hmm.
Then he did it again.
Yeah. On the road.
Yeah. Right. Against the top seed.
We were talking about this and like going through all the players. Man, Donovan Mitchell has been equally as good.
Well, yeah, he has. I actually feel bad for Donovan Mitchell.
33-48 in the two losses.
Yeah.
So their pyramid goes most trustworthy, extremely trustworthy,
okay.
and then just trustworthy.
Okay.
And in the trustworthy category is Haliburton, Donovan Mitchell, and Anthony Edwards. But James and I both were in agreement that Donovan Mitchell belongs on a different level than those guys.
I'm sorry. Give me Donovan, Ty, and who was the third one?
Anthony Edwards, sorry.
Oh, Ant-Man. Okay.
Yeah.
That's all fine.
I trust Donovan Mitchell way more than I trust Haliburton and Ant right now.
Well, and even Halliburton's had game winners, but there are a lot of times where he hasn't been very good.
Like, yeah, so but far if we're playoffs. Talking, really? I don't feel like I think Ty's game is a lot. It's more unique. Like mm-hmm. to Jalen and like Anthony Edwards, for example.
Yeah.
You don't really know what he's going to do from a night to night basis scoring. Like, I think he had, I hope I'm not mixing these games up. I think he had 19 in that game where he hit where he got the rebound and hit the three. He had 11 of those in the fourth quarter. 19 isn't an eye popping number. It's not the 48 that Donovan Mitchell had. It's not the 42 that Jokic had in mm-hmm. their win against, you know, Oklahoma City, but he had 11 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, 11 points, 5 boards and an assist. He was 4 of 7 from the field.
Yeah, but he's broke the 20-point mark 3 times in 7 games.
Yeah, but they're up 2-0 on the top seed.
Yeah.
And I think he's not going to be ass.
Yeah, the point in that is, like, he's not going to have the same scoring output that the other guys, in fact, all of the guys on this list are going to have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's not going to have that scoring output. It's like, is he going to affect the game in other ways? And when push comes to shove in the final minutes, can he hit the big shot? And two times, once against Giannis, mm-hmm. and again against the top seed, he did.
Yeah.
Very true.
The sometimes trustworthy tier.
Oh, boy.
Steph Curry, because he has a hamstring injury.
Okay. Yeah, by the way, it was the funniest game of all time last night. The funniest first 5 minutes of a basketball game I've ever seen for multiple reasons. I'm derailing your tiers. I'm so sorry.
That's
your pyramid,
fine.
Not
that's
the
fine.
Tiers, not the,
no.
not the
yeah,
tiers.
Yeah, they're not
pyramid.
Tiers. Do not
the pyramids.
Get
I apologize.
Thank you.
I apologize. They go. What did we say? Just keep Buddy doing the same thing. Don't make him do something else. Mm-hmm. Make sure Buddy knows he can't start trying to be different because Steph Curry's out. First time Buddy touches the ball, he's in the corner. What's he do? He tries to dribble out of it. Then what happens? He just loses the goddamn ball.
Unbelievable.
2 minutes later, Steve Kerr's like, well, enough of that. Rudy Gobert might be the worst basketball player in history. That guy sucks. He could have easily have had 14 points in the first quarter last night, but he can't control the basketball nor his 7-foot frame. Then the camera pans to Steph Curry on the bench where he has nothing other than a dear God, my team sucks look on his face.
Yeah.
And here comes Buddy to sit his ass right next to him. This is all with 8 minutes left in the game. I don't even think Golden State has scored yet. Yeah, in the first quarter. All with 8 minutes left in the first quarter. I don't think the Golden State Warriors had even scored yet. Epic. Absolutely. Steph's face was just, God, this team sucks.
I've never.
And then let's put in the guy who Steve Kerr won't play to go like 8 of 8 from the field to start or whatever it was.
I have never actually felt like a team might get shut out in the NBA. And you watch the first 4.5 minutes of that game or whatever. It's like, they might not score tonight.
I felt like, and it for any idiot like me who like talked, there's, you know, if they just focus on, you know,
that was me,
Jimmy, and don't let Buddy play, you know, outside, they'll be okay. Couldn't have felt dumber. Could not have, well, other than my prize pick. Well, sorry. Never mind. It's on social media.
Hang on.
Yep.
Other than your underdog, nope. Hang on.
Nope.
Daily fantasy.
Thank you.
The word I was looking for.
Yeah. No, that went bad. I was trying to hate on Draymond Green. That went great. Everything else, terrible. Absolutely terrible. Oh, and I can't wait to talk about Draymond Green. Stop framing Draymond Green as an angry black man. Stop it. Both of you. You two are guilty of this. You, Anthony Slater, all of the rest of you, you're framing Draymond Green as an angry black man. That man is successful. He's black and he has a family. He'll tell you that repeatedly. Then he'll storm away.
I'm uncomfortable.
Did you guys, I'm guessing.
I'm not talking for the rest of the show. There's about a minute left. Keep going.
This is just a guess. Did you two not discuss this today?
We did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay.
We didn't avoid it.
Okay.
So we avoided it.
Because it's your guys' fault.
We avoided the, right, which is why we didn't talk about that. So his post-game comments, like, to me, where we stand on that, the on-court stuff is a different conversation. We had that conversation. To me, when he says, the narrative is that I'm being framed as this angry black, like, that to me, as a white dude, is not my place to tell him yes or no. If that's how he feels, like, and I know that the fan got ejected for saying something racist to him. If that's how he's feeling, like, I'm just, okay. Like, that's how, that stuff is all to me separate from, hey, stop punching people in the face on the court.
Kicking,
stomping, punching, elbowing.
Yeah. Dropping your leg on someone's head.
I hear you. That's probably the responsible approach. You don't have to separate the two. You're covering professional basketball. He is a professional basketball player.
I understand that, but if he feels in his heart.
No, but he doesn't. That's the problem. Like, he doesn't.
I don't feel it's my place to tell
fine.
Him that.
And that's fine. It's going to be mine.
Okay.
It's also why I don't tell people they've got to come home.
Yeah.
I've got a full head of hair. Kyle wants to tell people.
Kevin Carter, my brother in Christ.
Hold on.
Come home.
No, hold on. Go ahead.
Oh, we got.
Keep going.
Okay. Devin Carter, you have 2 hours to bring me the bat. D'Lo and Casey coming up next. That's James Hammond, Kyle Madsen for Joe Brazil. Everybody have a great weekend. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube, back at 10 a.m. on Monday. Can't wait for that, but can't wait for D'Lo and Casey coming up next right here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. Until Monday at 10, drink water, be nice people. See you.